Greetings, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Launch Space. My name is Brian Benz. I'm your host for today, BBenz on Twitter. I'm here with Anthony Roman. Anthony, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. I'm Anthony. I work within engineering in Microsoft. My team focuses all on network security within Azure. I've been around Microsoft for about 2 years now. I originally joined the company and the team that I'm on to work on Azure Security Center and Sentinel, which Sentinel was brand new at the time. And then I transitioned over to the network security space, which is what I'm here to talk about today.
Yes. So the title of the show today is What's New with Azure Network Security. And we're going to talk specifically about some new features and releases with Azure Front Door and Firewall.
Exactly. So last week was a huge week for Azure Network Security in terms of releases. We have two major releases that came out into public preview last week. And what I want to do today is take everybody through what they are. We'll talk a little bit about the context around the services, what they're meant to do, what their functionality is, and I'll do a bit of a show and tell when we're done just talking about them. So I'm excited to share.
Awesome. So while you're watching this show, akka.ms/learnTV, for those of you who might be on the Microsoft Developer Network, is the place where you can go and you can ask questions of Anthony. And this is an interactive show. We value your feedback and your questions. So please do chat over there at akka.ms/learnTV. And we'll take it away, Anthony.
All right. So already introduced myself, so I will pass up this slide, but getting into what we're talking about today. So this is just kind of an overview of where Azure networking fits in the picture of Azure in general and the little area of Azure network security that we're going to talk about today. Azure networking is a huge section of Azure. You know, it encompasses everything from the edge to hybrid connectivity to remote work. And then over in the left couple of boxes there is where we're going to concentrate today, which is secure network infrastructure and secure app and content delivery. And so, you know, I mentioned that my team focuses on Azure network security, but there's a lot of overlap, and we kind of treat network security and application security, in the same group. We lump them together somewhat. And so when I say Azure network security, the things that that the team focuses on are Azure Firewall and Firewall Manager, Azure WAF, which it can either be a part of Azure Front Door or Application Gateway, both our layer 7 load balancing services, and then also Azure DDoS Protection. Those are kind of the flagship products within Azure network security. Of course, in our role between, again, my team sits in between customers and the rest of engineering, the folks that actually write the spec and write the code for what the products do. We're here to pretty much understand all the delivery and security use cases that the customers have and help translate that into better products or better documentation or just hands-on helping with customers to deploy this stuff. And so we'll focus on those areas, secure network infrastructure and secure app and content delivery. So as part of that, the way that, just like it, most people in the industry, I think right now, we try and contextualize our conversations around network security in within the Zero Trust framework. And so if anybody is not familiar with the Zero Trust framework, hopefully you are, because it's one of the most popular buzzwords. It has been for a while. But go to akka.ms/Zero Trust, and you can read a bit about the Zero Trust Zero Trust principles. Within Zero Trust, I mean, it really, just to boil it down, it amounts to all the good security best practices that people have talked about for a long time. Things like assume breach, least privileged access, verifying every aspect of a user or a device that needs to access something. Really just defense in depth. And so taking the zero trust concepts and applying them to various places, you see this diagram, you know, identity is always first and foremost in zero trust. And so, you know, that's kind of a pillar on its own. Device checks and device attestation of health and security posture are super important. But then on the other side are the things, maybe the more classical, pieces of the security frameworks that you still have to pay very close attention to. So things like network and infrastructure and app level and data level things are, you know, they get less attention than the identity aspect of zero trust, but they still belong in the conversation. They still have a role to play in segmenting and protecting your network. So I'll skip into what are the pillars of zero trust when it comes to network security within Azure. Some of the things that I mentioned, the word segmentation, that's a huge one. I think of network segmentation, or, you know, some people will go as far as micro segmentation. I think of network segmentation as a method to enforce the principle of least privilege, but at the network layer. Usually when we talk about least privilege, we're talking about user identities or service principal identities and saying, okay, give only the, you know, only authorize the necessary parties and only to do the actions that they absolutely need to do their job. And the same thing, the same sort of principle can be applied to network layer segmentation, in that you can say, okay, this device doesn't need to talk to this device, so don't do it. This device doesn't need to reach the internet for any purpose, or it only needs to go to this specific place. So segmentation is, I think, a huge piece of the zero trust model. Threat protection is the other another really big one in my head, where, you know, it's part of the verification at every step of the process piece of zero trust. And so when we're talking about threat protection, there's a number of things that you can do, such as inspecting web traffic for known exploits, doing a quick threat intelligence check on the sources of your network traffic and the destinations of the for traffic that's bound from, or that's coming from within your network. So there's a lot of different threat protection things that we can do, and some of the things that I'll get into that are the new releases for Azure Network Security have a lot to do with that threat protection piece. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then the encryption piece. I mean, that's just, encryption is just a fundamental at this point. I mean, everything ought to be encrypted, and that, you know, a lot of the services that we'll talk about here, and some that we won't, like, you know, my team covers WAF on Application Gateway, the same as WAF on Azure Front Door, but App Gateway and Front Door being layer 7 load balancers, you know, encryption and certificate management, and, you know, the ability to re-encrypt all the way to the back end, those are just kind of assumed, like these are just things that we do. And then we're, it's funny that one of the things that we'll talk about, one of the Azure Firewall releases, does kind of the opposite of encryption, but it plays well with encrypted traffic, but it still allows you to do some threat detection on that encrypted traffic. So we'll get to that in a minute as well. All right. So in terms of secure network infrastructure, this is the section where we're going to go into specifically Azure Firewall, and I'll get into a little bit more about Azure Firewall in general, what it is, what the big announcement was last week I'm here to talk about. And we can get into some more of the details on the other services that Azure Firewall touches in its main capabilities. So here's the big thing that we've been working on for quite some time that was announced last week. It went into public preview on last Tuesday on the 16th. Which is Azure Firewall Premium. I'm going to back into explaining a little bit more about Azure Firewall generally for those who are not super familiar with it after we get the, you know, quick premium announcement out of the way. But Azure Firewall Premium brings Azure Firewall into the realm of next-gen firewalls. And it's firewall is already a cloud-native auto scaling PaaS service, which is already one of its biggest and best features. Now we add in some more of these pure security capabilities, and it makes it into a proper next-gen firewall. Of course, we still have some features that we need to add in the future to, you know, bring it up to full-on parity with some of the next-gen virtual appliances out there. But this is a huge step. And so this is a really exciting one to talk about. So starting from the left, TLS inspection is the first piece that that is introduced with Azure Firewall Premium. And this is the one that I was talking about that's, you know, almost a reverse of the encryption pillar, but it's for good and not for evil. And so TLS inspection gives us the ability on outbound traffic and east-west traffic within your network to terminate and inspect and then re-encrypt TLS encrypted traffic. So, you know, if you're making a web request, if something on your network is trying to make a web request out to some destination that you've allowed, you can break that encryption and find out exactly what's in that packet, which is a huge capability for security teams. And this kind of feeds right into the next one, which is intrusion detection and prevention. We abbreviated IDPS. You may see it called IDS, IPS, some combination of those letters. But IDPS for us is based on an open source, the Suricata IDS engine. And since it's built into Azure Firewall, it's an inline IDS IPS system, which will work in conjunction with the TLS inspection and then allow us to inspect the entirety of the traffic that's passing through Azure Firewall and make a decision as to whether that traffic matches any sort of malicious patterns. And so, again, a great addition to the capabilities that already existed in Azure Firewall to knock down known threats. Now we can see directly into the packet and knock it down, based on some more data. So that's a really exciting one. URL filtering, again, that's another one of those capabilities that is unlocked by TLS inspection. So once we break that TLS, we can see all the way inside that packet. We can now see the full URL, and we can make decisions on whether to allow or deny traffic based on the entire URL rather than just the FQDN. Encrypted traffic, you can just see the domain name that it's bound for. Once you break the encryption, now you can start seeing the full URL and saying like, okay, now I wanna allow users to get to bing.com/maps, but not bing.com, something like that. I mean, I'm not advocating that you block Bing, but to each their own. So web categories is the last piece of the Firewall Premium, at least the large pieces that have been announced last week. And web categories now gets us into the ability to allow and deny based on wide categories. Instead of having to build your allow lists or your block lists based on just, you know, a list of IPs, a list of FQDNs, a list of URLs, now you can say, I want to block all gambling, or I want to only allow, let's say software updates, that sort of thing. And so this, in my mind, the thing that this helps out the most with are situations where you have more user accessible devices on your VNets or on your hybrid networks that also talk through Azure Firewall. So in a server environment, you're fine with the allow list model. That is the most secure and the best way to do things where you deny everything by default and then you say, okay, this server environment over here is allowed to hit maybe a few Linux repositories to get some patches and things like that, but nothing else. In a user environment, you might want a more a lenient access policy. And so now you can start using web categories to say, okay, my Windows virtual desktop environment is now able to get out to the whole internet, except for these 10 or 15 categories that we've deemed, either not work appropriate or, potentially malicious. So, these are the big pillars of the Azure Firewall Premium release as it happened last week. And I will jump into a little bit more detail now about Azure Firewall and its overall capabilities. And a lot of this is, I'm not going to go through and just read this whole slide to you because that's no fun. But I'll sum it up to say, Azure Firewall, just again, I told you I was going to back up a little bit. So for those that aren't super initiated with Azure Firewall, let's talk a little bit about how it's used, what customers normally do with it, and you know, just a little bit more about what it's supposed to do. So I mentioned before that Firewall is a PaaS service, an auto-scaling PaaS service. That's one of its great strengths, is that it's part of the core, the fabric of Azure, and so can be managed and deployed using the methods that you already use to manage Azure, whether it's clicking around through the portal, PowerShell, CI/CD with, you know, APIs and things like that. You can use whatever you normally use to deploy a VM. You can also deploy a firewall or configure new rules. A firewall, when I say a firewall, think of it in terms of a central point of network inspection for your whole network or a group of networks. So what we normally see, I'll just give you an example. What we normally see is Azure Firewall will sit in a central hub VNet, which in works in, inside the hub and spoke model. And your spokes could be peered Azure VNets. It could be VPN connected networks in either on-premise. You can also use ExpressRoute. It could be VPN connections to other clouds. However you want to connect your IP space together, Firewall is meant to sit in the hub network and direct traffic based on the rules that you set for it and based on the threat intelligence and threat inspection and now IDS, IPS that are part of the firewall. So what you see is firewall sits in the central VNet. Maybe you want spoke one to talk to spoke two and nothing else. Maybe you want your on-premise network to use Azure Firewall as your internet gateway. All these things are possible when you throw firewall in that central VNet, and since it's part of your VNet, you know, it integrates very closely with your infrastructure. In the one more point that I'll make on firewall and just kind of what it looks like in terms of technology, let's talk about what it's not. Firewall is not the same as NSGs. It is meant to be a more centrally managed traffic control device with, of course, added features with threat detection and things like that. But it does play well with NSGs. It can complement NSGs. So what we often see is NSGs will sit at the subnet level in your various spokes or even within your hub, and they'll do kind of the very granular micro segmentation maybe between your spokes or even, you know, between individual virtual machines. Firewall sits in the middle. Firewall is also not the same as the, you know, you may see a little firewall blade in one of your PaaS services like SQL or storage. It's not the same as that. A PaaS firewall is basically just a layer 3-4, you know, access policy that says, you know, allow access to this storage account from this trusted set of IPs and deny the rest. Firewall can go a lot more deeply than that. And again, it sits within your network. In comparing really quickly to between a firewall and let's say a network virtual appliance, which we often see in Azure, but a virtual appliance might have to, in order to achieve high availability, you might have to have two or more virtual appliances with load balancers, both for ingress and for egress, and all of the other things that come along with managing that essentially cluster of firewalls. Azure Firewall is just a pre-built cluster of compute. It includes the load balancing, the auto-scaling compute, all the things that make the thing highly available is just managed by Azure. We have all that on our side and we inject it into your VNet. And so you don't even have to think about any of the infrastructure concerns. You just plug it in, you route your traffic to it, and you're good to go. So I know I'm starting to go into the probably too much depth territory with firewall. So I will move on there. And then unless Brian, do you want to stop me in any way of, you know, asking questions or getting in more clarification?
I do. So a couple things. First of all, for those folks who might not know it out there, what does NSG stand for?
Ah, yeah. Good. See, I tend to just jump into things. Okay. NSG is a network security group. And you'll see NSGs attached to either the network interface of, you know, the when you provision a VM, you'll see an NSG probably attached to the network interface. And you have the option to also attach them to your subnets. And so think of them as the local traffic control versus the central traffic control that Azure Firewall represents.
Cool. Great. And, you know, you touched on it a little bit, but I just was wondering if we could expand more on, you know, when you set up a SQL Server, you have to deal with a firewall there and other PaaS services as well. So what would be the key differences between, you know, Azure Firewall and those firewalls that are, you know, service specific?
Yeah. So the service specific firewalls, you know, the big thing is the service specific firewalls are meant to lock down the public endpoint on the PaaS service. So if you've got, you know, let's say a SQL instance, it's got a public endpoint. And so the firewall on that is meant to just restrict traffic, either, you know, blocking IP addresses that you don't want, or, you know, allowing only the IP addresses that you want. And it's similar to NSGs. It is just a, you know, layer 3-4 type, you know, I want these IP addresses or I don't. Firewall, on the other hand, it sits within your network. And so it deals with, as far as the internal access, it deals with both in private IP address space, so whatever IP space that is represented by your virtual networks that are, you know, maybe all peered together. And then it can also filter outbound based on, again, we talked about URL filtering. So it goes to the layer 7 application layer in that respect. And it also does inbound traffic. So if you did want to filter traffic, allow traffic into your network, you can do so with firewall in a central way, and then route that traffic, you know, wherever it's bound to in your VNets. And one more point I'll make on that is that as far as PaaS services go and utilizing maybe Azure Firewall for those, to the extent that your PaaS service supports private link, you can put a lot of PaaS services now into one of your VNets. So you might have a PaaS service dedicated spoke VNet on your inside your virtual network topology, and you would route traffic, you know, potentially through Azure Firewall the same way as you would anything else. And so you can kind of make a hybrid scenario where you use Azure Firewall to control the private IP space in the access through that to your PaaS services, rather than using one-off PaaS firewalls that only apply to one single service on individual public endpoints.
Right. That's great. That's great. Hey, I wanted to show something on my screen as well, if you don't mind. I've got a link here to the to all the links. So we have a show page set up at aka.ms/frontdoor and firewall. If you go there, a couple of things I want to show you that you will see. The first is firewall documentation. You can follow the links through to there. We've got some of the basics if you're unfamiliar with firewall, including some tutorials and things. And something that has been recently released as well is a Learn module. So Microsoft Learn is a way to go beyond the docs and actually help you learn interactively about what an Azure firewall is, how it works, when to use it. There's a knowledge check. And this actually ties into some certifications that you can get as well. So I did want to highlight those two things. There's also some resources for Frontdoor as well that I'll highlight a little bit later. But if you go to aka.ms/frontdoor and firewall, you'll find all the info that you need for those for later. So thanks.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for calling those things out. And you'll also find on that list of links that we've supplied on that short link, you'll see links to my team's blog, our GitHub repository. We try and do as much as we can with the time that we have to, you know, keep relevant content coming out there, whether it's, you know, cool technical samples on GitHub or how-to articles on the blog. Definitely go check those out if you're interested in network security. Okay, so moving on from Azure Firewall, I think I've covered pretty much everything on there. And hopefully, if there's any extra questions, we've got some super smart people in the chat that are more than capable to answer anything that comes up. And, you know, if there's anything really interesting, Brian might bring me some questions to answer, you know, on this webcast coming up. So, all right, let's skip into away from, you know, network and virtual network and infrastructure security. Let's change gears a little bit and go to secure content and application delivery. And the, you know, I mentioned before that there's a few different things that, you know, kind of group together to make up that secure application delivery piece of Azure Network Security. Those being application gateway, front door, and WAF that you put on both, and then DDoS protection that that can do your layer 3 and 4 DDoS mitigation within Azure. So here's the big announcement that came out last week is that Azure Front Door came out with two new SKUs, so two different versions of the product. I'm, you know, thinking of it as kind of the next evolution of the service, where essentially what we're doing with Front Door is we're bundling together all of the components that at one point were kind of separate but still intertwined. We're bundling all the components to delivering a global web application securely. And so we've kind of just broken down a few of the barriers that existed in order to deploy Front Door. And so I will, you know, just really quick while we're taking a look at this slide. So I mentioned that App Gateway and Front Door were the two, they're the two attachment points that you can use Azure WAF on. And, you know, being network security, WAF is the thing that I care most about. Between Front Door and App Gateway, this is a question that we get all the time, and I'll just answer it before anybody asks. What's the difference between App Gateway and Front Door? They're both layer 7 load balancers, and so why would I pick one over the other? The big difference, so, is that Front Door is global, and Application Gateway is regional. And so what that means is think about Application Gateway as actually a very similar service in terms of what it looks like technology-wise. It's very similar to Azure Firewall. It lives in its own subnet within your VNet. It is an auto-scaling PaaS service. So we kind of, we take care of all the, you know, the nuts and bolts on the back end, and we just inject the service into your VNet. And so App Gateway is a layer 7 load balancer that lives close to the source. It lives very close to whatever backends that you're trying to serve out with it, whether it's, you know, an older, you know, a legacy app that's running on a VM, you know, maybe it's going straight to a app service on a private link, something like that. But App Gateway lives inside your VNet, and so it is bound to the region that it's deployed in. Front Door, however, is a global service, which it's not bound to a region. What that means is that it is simultaneously deployed in all regions across the globe. And so if you have, and one service is not better than the other. They are different services, and they're meant for different use cases. And so, you know, there's actually a great, and I don't even remember if I can included this in the list of links, but I should have. But I'll find a way to get it to you at some point. But there's a great article on the Azure Architectural Center. If you're not familiar with that site, it's a great one of, I think, commonly overlooked Microsoft Docs site. But there is one article out there that has a decision tree on when you might use different load balancing services in Azure. So, you know, the different load balancing services, there's load balancer, there's traffic manager, there's app gateway, and there's front door. So I have all these choices. When would I use each one? There's a lot of questions to ask and answer. But essentially, if you come to the point where you want to use, you have a web application, and so you'd be using an application layer load balancer. If it needs to be global, if it needs to be accessible for simultaneously for different users throughout the globe, and you want equal performance for anybody who is accessing it, no matter where your backends live, then Front Door is your ticket. If you want something that is dedicated into your region and more closely intertwined with your network infrastructure within your VNet, then App Gateway might be the answer for you. So there's a lot that goes into it, but you know, essentially global versus regional is the biggest thing to remember on Front Door versus App Gateway. And so we'll go into really quick what's included with Azure Front Door Standard and Premium. So the difference here is Front Door Standard / Premium is what you'll see in the portal, and I'll show you in the actual Azure portal in a minute. But what you see now is Azure Front Door Standard / Premium. What you will see for what you used to see and what you can still see in the portal is just Front Door. And so moving to the standard / premium model enables us to kind of tailor whichever one you choose is tailored to your use case. And so the premium version is security optimized. The standard version is delivery optimized. And so we'll talk a little bit more on what the differences there are. But I think the diagram on this slide is pretty useful to see what you can do with Front Door. So it's very common to see cross-region delivery with different services making up your application, all fronted by Azure Front Door. So this is a good diagram of what a global deployment might look like. You have different services in each region. Sometimes they are redundant services. A lot of times what we'll see is Front Door sitting in front of an application gateway in each region. Each fronting their own set of backends, which might be a VM scale set, it might be a web app, backed by SQL, et cetera. There's a lot of layers of each application. But Front Door will act as the ultimate edge ingress point into the Azure network. And that has some advantages in terms of security, because if you do your security inspection as close to the edge as possible, you're knocking down any potential threats before they get anywhere into your network. And so that's, I think, a great piece to consider. And so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on most of this stuff. I want to stick to the security stuff. So in terms of the security features that we have on the top, some of the important things. So the WAF, the Azure WAF, which can attach to Front Door and now comes bundled with Front Door, no matter, and it comes with Front Door Standard and Premium. It's just a matter of which features you want out of your WAF service. We support both the standard kind of OWASP top 10 type inspection, where we're looking for known SQL injection patterns and cross-site scripting and all the standard web attacks that you see all the time. But we also have bot mitigation, which is based today on the Microsoft internal threat intelligence feed, the same threat intelligence feed that works on Azure Firewall, and will knock down known malicious, source IP addresses. And in Azure Firewall's case, it'll knock down, known malicious destinations as well. So it's powered by the same threat intel feed that powers a lot of other services that we have within Azure Security. And so it's you know what you're getting with that. Let me advance real quick to show you kind of the rest and how this stuff fits together. So it used to be the case that if you're delivering an application that had a combination of dynamic content, so actual application running code, static content, so files and videos and things like that, and then also wanting to protect that with the security layer that WAF represents, you would have to provision essentially three different services. You could intertwine them. They work together well. They're all native services. But now we've just simplified that a lot more. So now Front Door Standard and Premium, you get to two pretty easy to provision services that are bundled just directly together and encompass everything that you need to either deliver, to either optimize for delivery or optimize for security. And again, I'll show you some of these things. And one of the things that I think I forgot to mention on the previous slide is that one of the things that we've introduced in the premium SKU, you'll see down there, is private link support. And so that's a big step in a good direction, is that it used to be the case that Front Door, you would have to, as your backends, you would have to use anything that had a public endpoint already. So any public IP address or publicly accessible FQDN could be your backends. Now, you can still do that, of course. You can put Front Door in front of anything you want. It doesn't matter if it's in Azure, on another cloud, on-prem, as long as it's got a public endpoint, it can be fronted by Front Door. Now, Front Door can actually, via private link, jump into your network and hit private backend. So that's a great piece for security.
Brian, hey, nice back. Hey, Anthony. I've got a couple of questions. We have a question from the audience. I have some myself as well. So you mentioned WAF. So Web Application Firewall is WAF, as you can see on the slide. So that was one of the acronyms I wanted to get out
please,
there.
Please decode all my acronyms. I hate when people do that to me and throw jargon at me that's unexplained. So please call me out.
We're so good at Microsoft with the acronyms. So the other thing I want to say, I think, you, as always, I mean, you've done a great job of touching on it so far, but there are a few things that you hear about when you're setting up Azure applications. There's a Azure Firewall that we've covered. There's the Front Door. There's App Gateway. There's Load Balancer and Traffic Manager. I don't know if you're going to cover those in subsequent slides, but I just want to see if you could just give us kind of an overview of how do those all fit together? You know, where would you use one versus the other and have some of these replace others and things like that?
Sure. Yeah. So I touched on it a little bit, mostly in App Gateway versus Front Door. And so I think we've covered that piece, but I'll make a distinction. And actually, while you're thinking about, you know, App Gateway sitting in the regional level and Front Door sitting at the global level, there's an analogy to be made with Load Balancer versus Traffic Manager at basically the same sort of comparison. So Load Balancer and Traffic Manager, let's differentiate the two of those things. Let's group those together and differentiate those two from App Gateway and Front Door. App Gateway and Front Door are the layer 7 load balancers. Traffic Manager and Load Balancer are the layer 3 load balancers. So those are 3 and 4. So those are working on things like just basic DNS load balancing. So it's nothing, they don't terminate TLS is I'm just going to cut to the chase and say, that's the biggest thing that App Gateway and Front Door do that enables them to do more advanced things on the application layer in order to route traffic to your backend. So they can do things like URL path-based routing, using different backends. So you might have a backend pool that is specifically for one segment of your site and a different, totally different backend pool for another. And then, you know, different endpoints for your static content. So for CDN endpoints and things like that, your layer 7 load balancers are smart enough to see it within that application content. And since they have full visibility and the ability to actually interact with some of the headers when it comes to your application delivery, they can do things like even rewrite some of the headers that get passed back either to the user or, you know, get forwarded back onto the application. And so layer 7 load balancers are more advanced, but you don't always need a super advanced load balancer. If you're doing either a non-application service or you're doing app layer load balancing somewhere else in the chain, then Load Balancer and Traffic Manager might still have a play in the architecture. Again, it's very dependent on the scenario and what you're trying to achieve. Let me real quick differentiate between Load Balancer and Traffic Manager. The same sort of global/regional comparison can be made between those two services. Traffic Manager is the global version. It actually works on a very similar architecture to Front Door, and Load Balancer is the in VNet in region version. And so that's a little bit of a synopsis. And now Firewall is the curveball that you threw in there. And so I'll spend a second on that. So Firewall, Firewall has always been able to sit in somewhere in the chain for app delivery. There's another great Azure Architecture Center article that, again, in my negligence, I don't think I provided a link for, but I will.
I'll dig one up.
Yeah, good. But Firewall has always been able to sit in your app delivery in some way. Some customers want Firewall to be the central ingress point to anything on their network, even if it's an inbound web application. And so you might use Firewall as the ingress point. Firewall then passes the traffic to the App Gateway and then routes it back from there. the opposite could also be the case. You can use Application Gateway as the ingress point to your traffic or even front door, and then pass that traffic down from App Gateway to Firewall and then your backends. Until now, until this release, there hasn't been honestly much of a reason to want to chain those services together. I mean, some organizations just have a steadfast policy around like, nope, one public IP address is all you get, and we want it all to come through Firewall, period. That's, you know, we want central. But in that case, there wasn't really, Firewall wasn't doing much other than, you know, it adds a layer of threat intel. But then comparing, let's say, Azure Firewall threat intel versus the bot, you know, the threat intel powered bot mitigation capabilities of App Gateway WAF, there was a lot of overlap and not much differentiation. Now we have the opportunity with Firewall Premium using TLS inspection and IDPS. Now we can chain the two services in a very effective way. We can put App Gateway as the, you know, the ingress point to your network. App Gateway terminates TLS, inspects with the WAF engine, you know, knocks down any threats that it sees, re-encrypts, sends it to Firewall, who then decrypts again. I mean, if you have that requirement, you can also send it clear. And then Firewall can now use its IDPS engine to further analyze the traffic to see if there's anything that, you know, WAF wasn't scanning for, because the rule sets on IDPS and WAF tend to be a little bit different. And then it can go back to your backend, and you can have that kind of double inspection. Not every organization is going to want that or need it, but it is possible.
Cool. That's great. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to ask you about is really, you know, hybrid scenarios. That's where you might use the firewall as well, right? At least to get to the application. If you have a situation where you have an on-prem data center and then you have some applications that need to access things on the cloud, you might have a situation in there that you would use the firewall to as an extra layer of security between access to the external data. So pretty much you could have access from anywhere, but it goes through the firewall, so it's safe, it's authenticated.
Yep, exactly. So when you have a hybrid scenario like that, or even a multi-cloud scenario or something, you can think of if you've got that central virtual VNet hub in Azure, what your on-prem, your data center, or, you know, multiple data centers, you just treat them as basically spokes to that hub. And so you would, as long as your IP space is not overlapping and you can, things can talk to one another, as long as traffic is routed through firewall, it is subject to firewall's inspection and its rules. And so one of the things that, you know, is a nice security feature of firewall, and I think this is usually the case for almost any firewall, is that it's deny by default. If you don't put any rules on firewall, nothing is getting through. And so you can rest assured that you have to create rules in order to get your traffic through. And so that's, you know, it's by default least privilege. You know, no privileges, I suppose, is least. Another scenario with hybrid that's definitely very much worth mentioning is there's a trend for more customers to be using virtual WAN. And so virtual WAN gives you a nice easy way to connect your branch offices to your central inspection points, which, you know, in our case could be Azure Firewall, or we also partner with some third-party security as a service providers like Zscaler. You can use that branch office to internet connectivity without having security inspection devices on-prem. You just peer, you know, or VPN connect in this case, your branch office to virtual WAN, and then there's Azure Firewall doing your internet filtering for you, or your, you know, services, private services within Azure filtering. And then if you have the case to do further inspection with some other third party, we allow for that too. So yeah, lots of different scenarios possible.
Cool. Great. Well, actually, we had somebody ask a question on YouTube, but they retracted it. I'm not sure why. It was a good question, which you just answered about, you know, analyzing firewalls, DNS records, and things like that. So that was great. I don't know if you're going to cover this later, but how about, you know, integrating with other security tools in Azure, like Security Center and Sentinel, and maybe explain a little bit more about those. Maybe you're going to do that later in the slides, but I just want to
No, and I'm glad you asked, because for the most part, I was talking about, you know, just these major releases. And so I'd love to spend a couple of minutes on it, because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Sure. Since I came to Microsoft to work on Sentinel and Security Center, that was one of the first things that I asked when I came over to network security was, okay, well, how do we play well with others? Can we make sure that we're integrating into as many of many other things as we can? And so I'm happy to say we do a pretty good job, and we're getting even better at it. So for those that don't know, Security Center is our native tool to do cloud secure posture management. And also it integrates with Azure Defender for PaaS service threat detection. So in terms of the CSPM portion, I did explain that acronym, cloud secure posture management. Security Center uses recommendations that amount to a secure score. So how secure is my environment based on the recommendations that you've given me? We have a few recommendations today. There's an Azure Firewall recommendation. Hey, we see that you have networks that aren't peered to a network that has a firewall. It looks like you're using just NSGs to manage outbound traffic, which is either an oversight or, you know, just a fairly insecure configuration or a difficult configuration to do securely. I'm not going to say that NSGs are insecure by any means. They're just really difficult to manage at scale. So we do have a firewall recommendation. We have a DDoS recommendation that we're working on improving, and we're working on more network security recommendations for ASC. So that's coming, but there's some that exist. Sentinel is where I think some of the more recent developments have happened. For those that don't know Sentinel, it's our cloud native SIM and SOAR solution. So security incident and event management, and then security orchestration and response. So with Sentinel, you're able to connect to the data that all these services generate. So whether it's in, I'll talk broadly about network security. So whether it's WAF data, access logs from front door or app gateway, all the firewall logs, whether it's, you know, IDPS rule matches, threat intel matches, or just general traffic logs. And then of course, DDoS attack logs and metrics all can be funneled into Azure Sentinel via some native connectors. And then we have a series of tools that are built into Sentinel today and more coming in the future to analyze that data and visualize it. So there's workbooks, which is kind of interactive dashboard. There's analytic rules that will allow you to detect, do query-based detections on those logs. And then there's playbooks, which are, you know, logic apps essentially that go and affect some sort of response action based on the incidents that you detect. So there are some things, the workbooks are all built in, the connectors are built in. We've got a couple of analytics, but we're working on a ton more. And we're working on a bunch of playbooks as well. So those all things that are possible. And anybody out there is welcome to write your own Sentinel detections for the network security stack, throw them on the Sentinel GitHub or the net, and we're happy to share those with the public.
And by the way, I as a developer relations person who writes a lot of demos that maybe don't, my servers and connections aren't necessarily always kosher in terms of security. I know the business side of Sentinel and a lot of the tools you're talking about quite well. I get monitored and notified all the time about my Jenkins server on Linux is completely insecure and dangerous and all kinds of them, which is okay. I mean, there's no data on there or anything. It's just a demo with nothing on it, but I get those.
No excuse. No excuse.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably on a few watch lists internally at Microsoft. That's most DevRel people are. When we build demos, we don't necessarily plug security in as our first priority, but so I can vouch for the fact that Sentinel is very effective at detecting weaknesses and threats. So yeah, it's great.
Well, which are you? Are you a threat or a weakness?
I'm a little bit of both, actually. I think Yeah, the Security Center as well. You know, there's so much to know there. I don't know if we want to digress into this topic, but we've got 10 minutes left. The Security Center itself, I'm constantly amazed. I mean, we have, I believe, 55,000 folks who are there. They're working on, it must be 5,500, but I can't remember the exact number. We have a lot of people, let's put it that way, who are working on making sure that we have security threats controlled and managed. And it's quite impressive what the security operation is and what they are on top of and what they prevent as well. So it's always impressive.
Yep. And we definitely look forward to integrating more closely with Security Center. We've got, you know, some good people working on it. There's some other Security Center integrations that exist today, like the DDoS notifications go there. But WAF and firewall need to be more represented, and we're working on it.
Absolutely. I was just trying to find those stats. I shouldn't have thrown out those stats without actually looking them up. But yeah. We spend $1 billion annually on cybersecurity research and development. It's pretty amazing. 3,500 security experts. That's who it was. And we have more certifications than other cloud providers when you're looking for compliance. So that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, good stats.
Yeah. I believe you have a little bit more material to cover.
So let me just jump into, there's really not much left. So we covered firewall, we covered front door. And one last point that I'll make on front door, it helps visualize some of the scale of that front door, operates in. Front door is huge, and this is just one example of the LinkedIn use case that is using front door in a big way to deliver a pretty prominent and high profile and high traffic app. Front door is actually the service that it was built by Microsoft for Microsoft. It is this pretty much the same underlying tech infrastructure that front door that we allow customers to use in when you provision your own front door. It is the service, we see LinkedIn uses it, but it's also what you're using, you'll see in a minute when I log into the Azure portal. It's front door. Essentially, it's the same tech. O365, Xbox, all those huge Microsoft properties are Azure front door. So it's, it's good at scale, is the point that I'll stop at. Brian, do you want me to take the last, 8 minutes here and just jump into the portal really quick and demo? Or do you want to do more, if there's more questions, I'm happy to do that instead or in addition. It's up to you.
We don't have any more. Just let me check here. I don't think we have any more questions. But yeah, I did want to show the Azure Architecture Center. I'm not exactly sure what you wanted to show there, but if folks search on Azure Architecture Center, you'll see the design patterns and best practices. We have a huge site there. And actually, a lot of these are deployable directly to Azure from there. Feel free to dive into the portal and show us around.
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll send the links to the security or the Architecture Center because there's a few specific articles within that I think are super helpful. There's a lot of great pieces in there. There's like the well-architected framework, which has a lot to say about secure architecture. But there's some things that apply to more directly to the stuff that we've talked about today. So, there's the application gateway plus firewall chaining, which I think is a super helpful article. And then there's the load balancing decision tree on, how do you make sense of all the different load balancer options. So I will just really quick show you within the Azure portal the couple of things. I'll start with firewall because it's the first one I covered. And so with Firewall Premium, I'm just going to jump into, I have a couple of firewalls that already exist. And you can see based on the naming convention that this one is a premium firewall. What I'll do is I'll go through at least the first couple of steps of the new firewall creation so you can see some of the things that that are unique to the new premium firewall. Which, by the way, it's in public preview. Anybody can access this same page now. Nothing special in my environment. So all the standard pick a subscription, resource group, and all that. But here's where you start seeing the stuff that's specific to firewall. So we're calling out, hey, this is the difference between standard and premium. And you can see you have a couple of options on how to manage your firewall. One is using firewall rules or the built-in config. Think of that as like you manage the firewall, each individual firewall individually as part of the firewall itself. When you use firewall policy via firewall manager, you can just create one firewall policy and assign it to one firewall. That's perfectly fine, and that's a perfectly valid way to use firewall and firewall policy. But you also have the ability to use a one-to-many relationship. So you can have one central firewall policy and assign it to many firewalls globally. Some of our customers have multiples of tens of firewalls out there, going into the hundreds. And so managing that level of infrastructure at scale becomes difficult when you're using one-off firewall config. So using a policy is a really good idea. And so one thing that you'll notice is that if I click the premium, you have to use firewall policy. So it's something to bear in mind as you're testing with firewall premium. And if you're planning to make the change either from a standard firewall or from some other service, or just implement this in a greenfield environment, you will need to use firewall policy, and it's a win-win. So I would just keep that in mind as you're doing it. And there's not much else to say here. I mean, you give the thing an IP address. It lives in its own subnet, which we inject all the bits of the firewall into your network. And that's pretty much I don't want to get too in-depth in this, but I'll show you what a deployed firewall looks like in action. So if I go over to this firewall, it looks the same as a standard firewall for the most part, except for right here where we say it's a premium SKU instead of a standard. But down here, you can start seeing like, okay, now I can see I'm managing this with a firewall policy, which I'm compelled to do. And I can start seeing a synopsis of all the things that I have enabled. So I've got my threat intel in deny mode, I've got TLS inspection enabled, and I've got IDPS in deny mode. So in the interest of time, I'll stop there on firewall, and I'll show you very quickly what the new front door creation process looks like. Now we have this compare offerings page, which is great, where you can choose either to quick create a standard, this new standard standard/premium SKU, or you can select your scenario. I've got a static web page, or I'm doing API, or I'm doing media streaming, file download, et cetera. And it'll recommend things based on what you might want to use. So third-party providers or the quick create option. And the only thing that I'll show in here is that this will handle multiple different types of origins. So you can use it to front static content from a storage account. And so that's your kind of CDN component. Or dynamic content from application gateways or APIM, et cetera. And then if you have the premium tier, you can use private link. So those are the high points. Obviously, I could do a lot more, but I want to hand it back over to Brian since we're very close to time.
Yes, we're going to be cut off in a second. So thank you very much, Anthony. That was wonderful. Some great insights. We'll share the links to the Azure Architecture Center at the site you see on your page now. It's akka.ms/frontdoor-and-firewall. We'll have all the links up there for you and a few other resources as well. And you'll be able to link from here to the recording later on, which will be on the Microsoft Developer YouTube channel. So thanks, Anthony. Thanks, everyone, for joining. And we'll see you at the next Launch Space, which is tomorrow.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Thanks.